Gang, we're back. This is episode 245 of the Q&A podcast. My name is Anthony, and sitting right across from me, looking just as defeated as I am, is my pal DeQuincy.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm better now that game is over.
Yeah, so you can tell we are recording this right after the Texans' defeat at the hands of the New York Jets.
New York Jets.
Yeah, 30-6. That was, man, I don't even have the words. I'm on a podcast on speeches right now watching that game. At some point, it just became obvious, like, we're not losing this. We're not winning this game, and we really can't afford to lose anybody else.
Right.
Because Nico Collins went out. Will Anderson Jr. got hurt. And then the end of the game, the fourth quarter, Stroud takes a hard hit. Hits the back of his head against the turf, and he's in the concussion protocol, so not guaranteed that he'll play next week. So let's just get the hell out. Davis Mills just run around like a chicken with your head cut out. Let's just get the hell out of here.
Just do some. Just yeah, do anything for the last 5 minutes of the game.
So you know how, whenever we do predictions, I always say about the Chargers, like, I don't believe in them and I won't until they do it.
Right.
I feel I got to start saying the same thing about the Texans now, because I get too happy, because we were one of those people that looked at the schedule like a couple of weeks ago. We're like, oh, man, they could make a run and even win the division. And it's like, why do we believe the Texans can do that? When's the last time the Texans have made us happy? Like, 100% happy. When was that? Do you remember?
Man, it's been at least 6 years. Maybe. I don't know, man. It's, I, you know me, I'm always trying to be optimistic. I tend to make homer picks quite often, quite frequently. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I also recognize a typical Texans game when I, like, the second things look different, I'm already of the mindset that here we go, probably another typical Texans game, and this was one of them. I mean, this was our chance, the Texans' chance, to basically take possession of first in the division, as long as everybody else loses, which everybody was at the time. I don't know how the Jacksonville game is. There was a lot of time left before we started recording. But really, you know, this was a chance to set yourself apart. This was another opportunity to beat another troubled to bad team. Because, the Jets' defense is still pretty good. They just have no offense, or they had no offense.
You wouldn't know by watching the second half of today's game.
Right, coming into the second half of this game. Yeah, I mean, it was another game that, on paper, by all accounts, this team should have won. And there have been a few of those already this season with this team. And historically, that's always happened to this team, it seems like. And then second for me, which at first was a big thing, and then it became lesser and lesser just because you have to make the plays. You have to execute no matter what the conditions are. And when I saw that it was raining out there in New Jersey, I was like, oh, this doesn't look good. This doesn't bode well for this team, because this team, at least this season, we haven't seen play in these types of conditions. Rainy, wet, slick, slippery weather. and it nullified the pass game for the most part in the first half. And then the run game just, you know, was non-existent as well.
The run game has been the same the entire season. There hasn't been any. Except, yeah, save for that one game where what's his name went crazy. Singletary went crazy.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. The run game's been non-existent the entire year. And it's really annoying when I can predict the play calling. Like, it's like, okay, here, first down is going to be a run that gets nothing. Second down is going to be a run that gets two. And now we're in 3rd and 8 and incomplete pass, and we're putting away.
Mm-hmm.
If I, a person who knows nearly nothing about the intricacies of football, can predict what your play calling is going to be, you don't think the defensive coordinator of the other teams can't figure it out?
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first half was a complete rock fight. I mean, neither team could get anything. I think it was like 10 straight punts from both teams combined to start the game. And then the second half, it was like the Jets came out. They adjusted their offense. They got Zach Wilson going, and the Texans had nothing for the Jets on either side of the ball. That was just. I understand you can say whatever about the weather. Oh, it's raining and the wind. They kept saying that it was going to have 30-mile-per-hour winds that I'm not sure ever came up. But it's football. Like, we've all played football. We've all played it out in the mud and the rain and everything. Like, you shouldn't be surprised. Like, the weather shouldn't completely discombobulate your team like that. It was like, like the second half was like watching a NFL team go against a team full of practice squad players. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I saw what the weather conditions were like. I saw that it was raining. I was like, oh man, this doesn't look good. But then, you know, again, at the same time, it's like, you still have to make those plays. You have to put that aside. You have to get uncomfortable. You have to win dogfight games like that. You know, to really establish yourself as a team that is going to play and can win no matter what's against them, you know. And they just didn't live up to it this time. They failed this particular test.
They gave up 300 yards and 2 TDs to Zach Wilson. PU.
Yeah.
The only good news for the Texans right now is the Colts already lost to the Bengals 34-14. And let's check on the other score. The Jags are down to the Browns, currently 31-27. But the Jaguars do have the ball. In fact, I'm going to put that on you.
Minute 33 left.
Yeah, I'm paying attention. Trevor Lawrence out there with his ankle wrapped with Gorilla Glue, prayers, and whatever the hell Randy Orton is on right now.
Oh, yeah. High reps.
Yeah. The report came out he had a high ankle sprain. He's playing the week after he got it. He on something. And that might be why he has 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. He's throwing it to wherever. The brown and teal look the same to him.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Texans for rest of who they got coming up. I know they got 2 games left with the Titans. So, yeah. Next week is the Titans, then Browns, then Titans, then Colts.
Oh, man. Look, these division games, they're never easy. So, the rest of the remainder of this schedule isn't a guarantee anymore at this point.
Nothing's a guarantee if CJ Stroud isn't playing.
Yeah, too.
And if Nico Collins is out, they already lost Tank Dell. And like we said earlier, the run game. Like, I remember before the season, there was a slip I was going to put in that I didn't put in. It was like all these futures for the players. And I would have hit on like 5 out of 6 of them because the ones I picked were Stroud, I think it was like over 16 and a half touchdowns. I was like, oh, Davis Mills did that. Stroud could do it. And he would have done it easily. I had the under for what's his name? Aaron Rodgers, like touchdowns, because I just didn't think he would play that much. And I was unfortunately correct. The only one I would have missed was, Damian Pierce yards, because the yard, it was like over 950. And I was like, he was almost at that last year and he got hurt. He would have hit over 1,000 if he didn't, you know, get hurt and have to sit out the rest of the year. Look how foolish I look. Thank God I didn't take that pick, because I'd be me mugging every Texans game.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the bets you don't make, kids. I'm getting the Athletic articles. Jets finally win. They end their 5-game losing streak. Like, damn. Texans just ended streaks week to week. Last week, they ended the Broncos 5-game winning streak. This week, the Jets losing streak. We're just the streak busters, baby.
Oh, man. It just seems to be our thing. That's our thing.
Just come untrustworthy would be the way to put it.
Yeah.
Right, don't get too happy on the team, no matter what, until they do it. Until you see CJ Stroud holding up a Super Bowl championship, don't believe. Don't have hope, kids. Hope is a lie.
Not for this team.
I remember before the year, I said the Texans would go 7-10, and that would feel like such an improvement. They're currently 7-6. If they finish 7-10, that would feel like such a failure of a year, you know?
Right.
It'd be like, oh, you're correct, but it feels like shit that you're right.
It's like you're correct, but they want it. They got all the way up to the 1-yard line to make it, to make you look incorrect.
It's like you're
only to fumble the ball.
It's like wishing on the monkey's paw. Like, you're going to get what you want, but you're going to be very disappointed. Any other football talk you want to get to before we move on to baseball?
No, I think that's it for me for this week, at least.
I'm just going to keep up with this Jaguar-Brown game, and I'll let you know. Oh, speaking of which, it just ended. The Browns won.
Okay, so everything remains in place, which is even more disappointing because, again, the Texans could have been tied for first or had sole possession of first. I don't know what the point differential is from those two games, because Jacksonville and Houston are tied at one
after this season. After head-to-head record, it goes to interconference record, which I think the Jags still have.
Oh, okay.
Over the Texans. The Texans would have been second, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because currently they're in third because they lost that first game to Indianapolis. So Indianapolis gets the second in the AFC South over the Texans.
So it's all moot at this point until next week.
Mm-hmm.
Until next week, it seems.
Keep your fingers crossed for CJ Stroud's health and Nico Collins' health, because they don't have those two guys, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
During the playoffs is over.
We're back to 2022 Texans.
Terrible times. So I'm going to give you a little inside the scenes. Before this weekend, my plans for this podcast was, we'll do any kind of breaking baseball news. We'll talk about that. And then we'll do a tier, a nice, fun tier that's going to make people hate us because it's going to be about 90s cartoons. So you guys don't want to know where I put certain of y'all faves. But
wait, so we're not doing that?
No. We'll save it for next week. No, okay. Because I have rants on certain cartoons that will take more than the hour and a half that we want this podcast to stay under.
Whatever could prevent us from doing this tier this week?
No. Some big news, big money news. Because, like I said, the original plan, we're going to do a little baseball. So what had happened, you know, before Friday was Juan Soto got traded to the Yankees. So we're going to hop on. We're going to talk about that, how it makes the Yankees better, what they still need to do to improve their team, to get back to the playoffs. And lo and behold.
Yes.
Everything went wackos, crazy bananas this weekend. Before we even get to Saturday, let's talk about Friday.
Okay.
Friday, news burst that Shohei Ohtani is about to sign with the Blue Jays, that he's on a plane heading to Canada. It's happening. He's going to sign and be Canadian's next national treasure. And what's his name? John Morosi goes on the MLB Network, and he's just telling everyone that it's going to happen. It's happening. And all of Canada's getting excited. And we wait. And we keep waiting. And we're still waiting because apparently Shohei Ohtani was never on that plane. He was chilling at home, mulling over the deal that he would eventually take from the Los Angeles Dodgers, a deal that came in at a smooth 10 years, $700 million.
Congratulations, Shohei, first off. But what the hell?
Yeah. All I can think of at the end of Friday was like, this is exactly why Shohei wanted everything to be private and not become a circus around his free agency. Because that's exactly what happened on Friday. People were out here tracking plane flights. I'm like, this is not college football. What do y'all not have shame?
Right.
And that's something else that pissed me off. When all these reporters like Buster Olney and Ken Rosenthal were complaining about Shohei silence around his free agency, and they're like, well, you're supposed to be trying to grow the game and get the fans interested, and this is slow, and it's blah blah blah. And it's like, well, y'all shut the fuck up. Y'all are just mad because y'all are scoops reporters and y'all ain't getting no scoops. Like, he can do his free agency however he wants to do it. He could be as quiet as he was, or he could make a whole TV production around like LeBron did. That is that man's choice.
And they'd criticize that too.
Yes. They're criticizing him for this because it made their jobs more difficult because they can't get the clicks, which means their bosses don't get the clicks, which means their bosses are asking them questions that they don't have the answer to. That's all that was. It wasn't about Shohei. It wasn't about growing the game. It was about the fact that doing
their story.
Yeah, doing the free agency like this means you don't have a story to write. It means he controls the narrative. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his job to grow the game during the offseason. His job is to do it during the regular season when he's out here hitting 45 dingers a year and being the best player in the league. That's how he grows the game. All this offseason shit, that's got all he has to do is sign a contract and show up somewhere in spring training. And that's it. He ain't got to make a story for you. That's not his job. I'm asking people to make your job easier. You chose to be a reporter, so get out there, bust that pavement, nose to the grindstone, get to work. You bums. But anyway, like I said, the big winner in this, Shohei Ohtani, gets $700 million and doesn't even have to move. Which, as a person who's moved many times in his life, moving is terrible. It should not happen. It should be just like a government service that moves you. Like, that's what our taxes should go to. Things that makes life easier. And having a government-sponsored moving company would make everything so much easier. You move into this house, this is your house forever. That's it. Boom. Done. I start talking about taxes. Look, I lost Anthony. He didn't even say anything.
No. I'm just glad it's over with at this point. All of your points are very valid, or more than valid. I mean, they're the truth. But at the same time, is the anticipation, nobody likes it. Nobody likes having to hold their breath and like waiting to see where he's going, what he's going to do. And now that it's over, everything else can fall into place. Everyone else can move on. But look, this is a massive deal. Not just the deal itself, but just the fact that, these numbers are involved is just unprecedented.
It's the largest contract given to any North American athlete.
I mean, that's European soccer club money we're talking about.
Yeah. And it clears the second biggest contract by like $235 million.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it's crazy. Like when I first saw the number 700 mil, I was like, God damn, I didn't realize he was going to get that much money considering, he can't pitch next year. And we really don't know the surgery that he had. Like his agent isn't really telling him. We're not sure if he had a second Tommy John or it's just like a brace surgery or anything, but to get $700 million coming off of what could be your second Tommy John surgery is crazy.
Right. And, the secrecy behind the surgery, behind the operation, behind, that whole situation, it shouldn't be lost on anybody that the doctor that performed the operation, whatever he did, was Neil Atache. Isn't that his name? Atache?
Sure. I don't know his name. I will take your word for it.
Reattache? Something like that. Who is also...
Time out. If his name is Reattache, that is a perfect name for a surgeon. He was born to do medicine.
Right,
Dr. Reattache. Like imagine sitting in the doctor's office, you hear Dr. Reattache to surgery, you'd be like, okay, someone got on the PA just fucking with me.
Or it quells your fears. Mm-hmm. Like, boy, I hope this doctor's good. I hope he knows what he's doing.
Go to a nurse, be like, that cannot be his real name. That's a stage name, isn't it? But continue, sorry.
He's also the Dodgers team physician.
Oh, of course.
So, because like Aaron Rodgers went to this guy to get his Achilles fixed up.
Mm-hmm.
Like he seems to be the guy right now, like James Andrews was back in the day. So whatever this doctor did, clearly gave the team his full blessings to give him as much money as he wanted and as much money as they could, possibly afford, like, whatever, he told them to just open all the books.
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you right now because I'm watching the Bills Chiefs game and they play a commercial and it's Kid and Play. Kid and Play have a Progressive commercial.
Yep, I just saw that.
It just warms my heart to see the legends grow old and still out here being healthy. But continue, right. Sorry.
No, it's great. It's a great commercial too.
I'm going to have to play it back because I got it on mute right now.
No, it's great. Yeah, it's definitely worth going back and watching. But, whatever this guy did, he clearly, told the Dodgers, like, this, he's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be worth your investment, every penny. And the Dodgers must have said, okay, well,
we're throwing a lot of pennies.
Right. You are our team physician. You better know what you're talking about. And he said, hey, I don't reattach him for nothing.
You don't call me Dr. Rhea Tache for nothing. And like, that's literally your name. So have you seen the interesting detail about this contract?
I've started to. Oh, yeah.
So the numbers haven't come out yet because apparently there's going to be a lot of deferred money in the contract.
Woo!
And that was by with Shohei's blessing. Like, it was his idea. Basically, all that deferred money is going to help lower the luxury tax number over the contract. So instead of being like, usually the contract, it's it just takes the average of the contract over the years, and that's how much it goes against your luxury tax. So usually, it would, 10 years, $700 million, it'd be $70 million a year. Well, the numbers haven't come out, but what I've seen, like, they're doing this so they can keep putting a team around Shohei to win a World Series, which is smart.
Right. Yeah.
A genius idea from Shohei. Secondly, someone please let Jim Crane know that this is possible.
Right.
Like, he can defer the money so he can sign Bregman and Tucker and get those deals done. Like, someone please, Astros front office, do Right. help us, please. They're already paying one deferred contract. Might as well add some more on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, all you asking, it is Zach Greinke.
Still, okay. Mm-hmm.
So that was a great idea on Shohei's part. I was taking a pause because I hate to give it to him, but you have to say congratulations to the Dodgers. They went out there and had a target, the best player in the league, and like, we're going out the shop. We're not coming home without him. And that's exactly what they did. Don't matter what the cost. And they were like, $700 million, bet.
Right. They, I mean, they're the West Coast Yankees. I mean, they spared no expense to get this guy. And that's the Yankees have always, they used to do that for forever. And now it's the Dodgers' turn. They are sparing no expense, no matter what it takes, what the cost. We're going to get our man. And they got him. And, you know, another thing about the Dodgers is that I'm seeing that beyond, after 2025, they're only guaranteed contracts before Ohtani's were Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, I'm sure there's going to be arbitration deals and stuff that they'll work out. But, you know, those will be your three biggest salaries, and you'll still have they'll still have money to go out and get other guys and keep building.
I mean, they've been playing this for 2 years.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't really make a big deal in trying to re-sign guys like Max Scherzer and Corey Seager. We know when Shohei's free agency is coming, he's the guy we want. We're going to plan and to get him no matter what. And that's what they did. I'm not going to lie, it may have cost them a title or two the last couple of years, but when you're bringing in the biggest, best player that we've ever seen in our lifetimes, like, I say, it was worth it.
Right.
So let me ask you a question. 10 years, and there are no outs on the contract. It's just a straight 10 years. So let's say Shohei stays there the entire 10 years. If I put the World Series championship, I put the line at 2.5, are you going over or under?
I'm still going to go under because we still don't know what Shohei can do under the biggest of lights, right?
I've seen this take on Twitter, and I want to push back because we saw what he did this year in the WBC. And I know playing for the Dodgers is a big deal, but there's nothing like playing for your home country. And the last time I saw Shohei Ohtani under the big lights, he was striking out Mike Trout. So I think he could do it.
That's fair, but we're not. We're also I think we're going to expect him. I think the expectation is like, what is he going to do in the big moment? You know, it's one thing to strike out Mike Trout, but it's another to get struck out, to be struck out.
Look, I saw that man go to the bullpen and come out and close it for his country. Not a team, his country.
That's fair. That's fair. But
and before that game, he was like, I know we all want to admire the USA, but we can't beat them as long as we admire them. We need to go out there and beat them. And damn it, that's exactly what they did.
But I think you have to consider the rigors of 162 game season. What's he going to be like at the end? You know, he won that at the beginning of the year, you know, in March, you know, after after a very long off season because he played for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And, you know, his season was long done. No, I think that's a very fair and valid point. But also you have to look at what's it going to be like in October? You know, that's when your body has been put through the ringer, you know? And especially if you're a two-way player, you know, you're playing every single day.
Well, he won't be a two-way player this year.
Right, right. And look, man, the Dodgers have always put together, have one World Series title to their names, what, in the last 10 years, 5 years even? I mean, if you want to just say 5 years. Despite going and getting every near best available player out there, going and getting Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, and for whatever you have to say about him, Trevor Bauer at the beginning of that, you know, before everything fell apart, you know, and they only have one title to show for it. And it's a title that all of us, not just because we're Astros fans, but I think more and more, a lot of people are growing, you know, to criticize even more because they haven't won since then, because it was during this, the COVID shortened season.
Not only have they not won one, they haven't been back.
Right. So, look, it's a lot of money for one player, but at the end of the day, you know, he's not the sole deciding factor on the fate of one team on the field. You know, maybe he is because maybe they do at some point run out of money to go get to put a team around him. But it looks like they're doing everything they can to avoid that. So at this right now, I'm still going to say under. Because we have to consider, you know, we talked about this just last week. The Astros were one game away from winning another World Series last year or this past season. You know, so clearly. Whether we're looking at it as homers or not, the fact that they were just one win a game, and you know, we both said it ourselves, means that there's still some juice left to squeeze. You know, in the old juice box, not bad, eh?
Clap, clap.
So it's not a foregone conclusion that, you know, the Dodgers are going to win right away.
Okay, I would just take the under because it's baseball.
That too. I mean, well, let me ask you this: do you ask me this knowing that I'm going to just jibber jabber on to get to the same answer you have?
No, I asked you that question because I honestly didn't know your thoughts.
Sure.
Usually, if I ask you a question, I already know where I'm going. And because I've been thinking about it for a long time, I can just get to the point real quick. Whereas I'm asking you questions, maybe the first time you heard it. So you have to like drive the car a little bit of ways to get there.
Fair. Because that is the first time I've heard that question. That's a very fair point.
You know, I've been thinking about that since he signed. And I would say under because it's just baseball. Like we've seen the Dodgers the last couple of years win the division, win over 100 games and get knocked out in the NLDS.
Right.
It happened, what, last year with
This
the
year.
this past season with the Diamondbacks, and then the year before they got knocked out by the Padres. But it's just, it's baseball. Like, you run into two hot pitchers and one hitter who can't miss, and the next thing you know, your season is over. That's exactly what happened to the Astros. So Adolis Garcia couldn't, if you threw a pea up there, he was sending it 475 the other way. And there was nothing you could do about that. And sometimes that just happens to your favorite team. And I wouldn't be surprised it happens to the Dodgers a couple of times, even with Shohei, because it's baseball. Like, it's the most random of all champions.
Yeah. Is it the ultimate team sport? Is it the hardest team sport to win a title?
You know, it might be football just because it's a single elimination game.
True.
Baseball, you have to win best of five, best of seven.
Mm-hmm.
Even the wild card has been expanded to best of three now. So probably football, probably hard, but baseball right there. It's just, baseball is just random. We haven't had a back-to-back champion since the Yankees. What was that, 2000? Mm-hmm. What, 99, 2000, I believe? That was the last time it happened?
Yeah.
I think the Dodgers would be good. Well, of course, they're good already. They'll be better with Shohei in the lineup. Speaking of which, look at this lineup right now. Fangraphs has it. 1-9, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, Max Muncy, James Outman, Chris Taylor, Jason Hayward, and Gavin Lux.
Yeah. That is pretty formidable. No doubt about it.
And then we scroll a little bit further down and we see where the issue is going to be.
Right.
I believe we talked about this on the last podcast. The Dodgers can't stop spending because their rotation is still a problem. Right now it's Walker Buehler, Bobby Miller, Ryan. I always mess up his last name. Ryan Piotte.
Piotte.
Piotte. Piotte. I'm calling Piotte. Piotte. Pepiotte?
I'm just a
Pepiotte. Pepiotte. Just a, apologies to Ryan. Ryan Yarbrough and then Emmett Sheehan. Two of those players had ERA over 4.5. One of those players did not even pitch last year. That would be Walker Buehler.
Right.
And Tony Gonsolin and Dustin May are going to be out next year. I think both of them had Tommy John surgery. Gonsolin for sure. And no one knows what's going on with Clayton Kershaw. Oh, look, Taylor Swift. Sorry, I looked up and I saw her clapping because Kelsey made a catch. I got no problem with their relationship or her being on TV. If I was the NFL, I put her on TV. She'd be on the sidelines. In fact, I have a picture-in-picture with just her. That's how shameless I am.
Right. Look, it's not my favorite thing in the world, but, I mean, you'd be crazy not to exploit it as much as you can. And that's what it is. It's just exploiting her, you know, like to get as many eyes on the product as you can.
Yes. And try to grow the game. Like, if women see Taylor Swift and they're more interested in football and they might buy a Travis Kelce jersey or two, that's good business.
Or, you know, whatever is a 400% increase.
Yeah.
From the time that they started dating. Yeah, because it definitely just wasn't one or two extra Travis Kelce jerseys. I saw that number and I said, good God.
Yeah, I'm Roger Goodell. I'm just scrolling through the zeitgeist. Like, who else can we get in here that will interest the women?
No one like her.
That's true. She's a megastar. It's her, Beyonce, one and two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any other singer / songwriter, dancer, whatever, that could have a movie come out in theaters and do well besides those two.
And sadly for Roger Goodell, Beyonce's already spoken for.
I imagine Roger Goodell knows yep. nothing about anything except football. Yeah. And he's like, can we get Beyonce in this? He's like, Beyonce, Roger, Beyonce's married. To who? Jay-Z, you've met him multiple times. I have?
Him?
Look, here's pictures. I don't remember this at all. Oh boy.
When did this take place? Yeah. Where was this taken?
This isn't AI? Check the fingertips. Make sure there are five. back to the Dodgers. Man. They need
or even before that, they would say, Roger, she is currently married. Are you sure? Yes.
And look at the Vince McMahon will pop up. Think of the controversy. We just have her show up kissing the football. Let me think of a quarterback. I was about to say Jalen Hurts, but I think he's a little too young.
Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco?
I think he's a little too bad.
Aaron Rodgers, man.
Oh man, I don't want to be honest. I don't want any woman around Aaron Rodgers. Not that. Not that cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, man. Seeing the conspiracies he dwells in,
right?
No one should be around him. I feel like now his family has vindication, but why they don't fuck with him? You see? Just a weirdo. Let's get back to baseball.
The ego on the two of those, on that two-headed monster, would be ginormous. Maybe as big, if not bigger, than her and Jay-Z currently.
Beyonce would probably have that man killed. He would say something about her children. That'd be it. like I said, back to baseball. As currently constructed, this Dodgers team, how far do you think they can go?
I think they can at least get past the first round. I think that's all we can say right now. Until we are proven otherwise.
Till they make some more signings, because they need some starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And I would go out on a limb and say they need at least two stars, because no one knows what's going on with Clayton. Like, mm-hmm. He may come back. He may retire. He may sign with the Rangers. That rumor's been out there for almost 3 years now.
Yep.
I'm Dodgers. So I'm out there. I'm seeing what Yamamoto wants. Maybe a little Jordan Montgomery.
Blake Snell?
I've seen a rumor that they weren't that interested in Blake Snell.
Okay.
But if they can, I would like go out there and get something.
Mm-hmm.
They currently have the same problem that the Yankees do. I mean, we didn't get to talk too much about the Yankees. We'll do it right here. The Yankees trading for Juan Soto. I mean, it's a great move on their part. It helps them with an obvious offensive offensive problem. Thank you. That they had last year. But they're in the same boat. Like, their pitching is Gerrit Cole and the Pips.
Right.
Man, that was ancient even for us.
It took me a second to.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize you're going to get it.
It even took me a second.
Because the Yankees rotation right now, Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, who, good luck, figure out what you'll get from him next year.
Yeah.
Clark Schmidt, Nestor Cortez, who took a step back last year, and then the fifth spot is currently occupied by someone named Clayton Beater. Beater?
Don't.
Oh, man, I was going to. No, not even going to make that joke.
I was going to say, don't.
Don't? Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You didn't hear that? I said, don't. No, stop.
Yeah, we're going to leave that alone. Well, Yankees also team be out there in free agency. But let's talk about the Yankees, like, starting nine. On Fangraphs, they had the lineup as DJ LeMahieu leading off, which, okay. And then followed by Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Anthony Rizzo, Gleyber Torres, Alex Verdugo, who they traded with the Boston Red Sox to get one of the very rare Yankees Red Sox trades. Mm-hmm. Following Verdugo is Giancarlo Stanton, sorry, Anthony Volpe, and Austin Wells.
Man, I mean, there's not a lot of certainty, to be honest. Like, you're not guaranteed that Soto is going to, you know, be a world beater at the plate this year. He could very well be. I mean, he had a great season last year, but, you know, adjusting to that environment, to that stage, to that team, you know, it affects players differently. It really does. And some guys don't get it right away, and you just never know. Verdugo is a guy that could be hit and miss as well. I had him on my fantasy team this year, and he definitely went through some hot and cold spells throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, ultimately, what is going to happen with Giancarlo Stanton? You know, is he again, this is a prime example of the risk you take with Soto. Giancarlo Stanton was the big acquisition for them, what, 6 years ago now?
It hasn't been that long, has it?
Maybe five?
The trade was in, December 17. So, yeah, you're right.
And he still hasn't figured it out completely either.
You can go down. I believe you can go down this starting lineup, and the only people that I feel confident in is Aaron Judge, Juan yep. Soto, and Gleyber Torres. And even Aaron Judge, I have questions about, because you're going to put that man, he's coming off of foot surgery, toe surgery, and you're going to put him in center field.
Oh, no, what is he? He's what, 6'2", 6'3", 200 pounds?
You are going low on both of those numbers.
Am I incorrect in that? He's not a. He's actually what?
6'7", 282.
6'7", 282. Yeah, and you're going to put him in center field.
You put a damn defensive lineman in center field. That's going to work out well. So, see, DJ LeMahieu, he won the batting title 3 years ago, I believe. Not even been for it. 2020. It must have been 2019, because that was an actual season. He won the batting title. He had a good 2020, you know, COVID year, take it for whatever you want. And in the mm-hmm. last 3 years, he has failed to hit over 268, 261, and last year, 243. Is he going to bounce back? Anthony Rizzo, he was having a great season until concussion that the entire Yankee staff missed for some reason and just had him out there until they finally said, hey, maybe that knee to the head you took against the Padres 3 weeks ago did something to you.
And Rizzo Rizzo said, what knee to the head?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, So we have no idea what he's going to look like coming back. He might be completely cleared up from his concussion issues. They might linger. We don't know until we see him in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Alex Verdugo has burnt out his welcome in two spots already. Right. Is he going to go 3 for 3? We don't know. You already talked about Giancarlo Stanton. I feel like if he gets a hold of one, he got a home run. He hit, would you like to take a guess on his batting average last year?
219?
291.
What?
291.
Giancarlo Stanton?
Yeah, his batting average, 291. I'm sorry, 191. My bad.
191. I was going to say.
Sorry, 191, 275 on base.
Yeah, I was going to say, 291. Why are we complaining? Are our standards that high?
Hey, well, you're
getting 291. Paid. This guy stinks.
Yeah. And then Anthony Volpe had a 2020 season, 21 home runs, 24 stolen bases, batting average 209, on base percentage 283. And what's that old saying? You can't steal first base.
Right.
Even with the addition of this offense could still be a bottom 15. Because there's a lot of feast and famine on this team.
Yeah, definitely.
Another team, but I think they're just where they are right now. I know rumors have had them circling around. What's the pitcher I named earlier? Yamamoto. But Blake Snell feels like he's just gonna be out on a raft by himself. Like he's gonna be the last big free agent to sign. Everyone is just so worried because they see that walk rate. Led the league in walks last year while winning the Cy Young. And I can't blame any of the teams because that's how I feel. Like when it goes, it's going to go. And you're it's not like this walk rate is going to go down. You've been this way your entire career. So
you'll be stuck for at least 6 years.
Yeah. You're paying $150 to $180 million for a guy who can't get out. I saw someone post on Twitter, this is the World Series that we need. And it was a picture of the Yankees and a picture of the Dodgers. And I'm like, buddy, we're not even sure either one of them are going to get to the championship series of their league. So let's tap the brakes on that.
Let's tap the brakes on what we need, per se.
Yeah. I would say baseball doesn't really need that. What World Series do you think MLB would die for right now?
Yankees and Dodgers, of course. I think they would love to see Seattle and Atlanta.
Seattle?
J-Rod? Ronald Acuña Jr.?
And
what
else Seattle got?
Well, baseball looks at it.
Oh no! I understand. No. We want superstars in our league to push forward and bring in the fans. What the? No offense to Seattle and the good people who live there, but what the fuck do the Mariners have?
Well, I mean, look, Julio Rodriguez, I think is a burgeoning big enough star for them to want to see on that stage. He's charismatic. He's young. He's a great hitter. Yeah, obviously they have a lot of they have a lot to, you know, to be desired, you know, around him. But I think you would want that guy to go head to head with Ronald Acuña Jr. I mean, those are your two biggest young stars in the game right now, I would say.
I'm still waiting for you to tell me who else Seattle has on that team.
Oh, I have no, I mean, I have no idea. And it, and in my mind, it doesn't even matter. Like, that's not what I'm not even concerned about that. I'm just concerned about like what, you know, I don't think baseball wants to see any one particular team. I think there are certain players they would love to see, you know, in the big series.
Brother, if Seattle made it to the World Series against anyone, network exists would fall to their knees. You name Julio Rodriguez and the Pips going to make it to the
Right.
World Series. Yeah, I'm bringing
Sure.
it back.
No, but look, honestly, outside of the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees, I don't think baseball wants to see any particular team.
I know two teams they don't want to see again, and that would be the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. Nobody watched that World Series.
Nobody wants to see that series again.
Could have been in people's backyards, and they would have closed the blinds, turned off
Yeah.
the lights, and y'all gotta get up out of here. I got work in the morning.
We'll clean this up in the morning.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Man, the Mariners. I can't believe that's the first place you'll mind me. Out of all the teams, 30
Well,
teams.
my first, the first place my mind went to was Julio Rodriguez, who happens to be on the Mariners.
I'm disgusted. All right. I don't want to say the Astros because I don't want to seem like a homer.
But see, I don't think baseball wants to see them either.
I think baseball would like a Houston LA Dodgers rematch.
I'll amend my statement. I don't think they want to see anybody other than, or I don't think they want to see Houston play anybody else other than the Dodgers to give the Dodgers the opportunity to get that one back. But that's not even a guarantee either. I think the Astros are still strong enough to win the whole damn thing.
It's like, remember Yankees fans were bitching about 2017 and Astros cheating. And then they met in 2022 and the Astros just swept them.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that happening to the Dodgers in the World Series. I say, I wish that baseball was a little bit more. What's wrong with we're just more interesting in the off season. It's kind of boring right now. We got the Shohei Ohtani signing, and ESPN is throwing out articles every day about what this means for the Dodgers and how this changes the landscape of baseball, blah blah blah. And I'm like, can we see what happens in the regular season? Are they going to be good? Probably. Are they going to make it to the World Series? Probably not. We got? Yeah, that's all I, that's about all I got. Oh, we can talk about Shohei Ohtani's, so the contract averages out to $70 million a year. Would you like to hear about the teams that will be paying all their players less than that?
I did see that, actually. It was Oakland.
Yep.
And was it Baltimore?
Yep.
That's right.
And a few more.
Oh, there's others.
Yes.
Probably Kansas City.
Ooh, Kansas City Royals, $7 million, $70,460,000.
Oh, okay, okay.
So they're slightly over.
So let's see. Baltimore, Oakland.
One, two, three, four. There are four more teams.
Miami.
Yes, $65 million. Would you like a hint for the last three teams?
Pittsburgh.
Yes, 54.
Uber. Washington.
Nope. Washington Nationals, 83.
83. Oh, yeah, okay.
Who the hell are the Nationals paying that much money to?
Strasburg and Scherzer.
Ah, it's Patrick Corbin and Strasburg.
Mm-hmm.
Because the deferred payments do not go on your do not right. count your luxury tax.
Who else? Detroit.
Go back. Detroit Tigers, $88 million. They still got that Javi Baez contract.
Yeah.
So you said the Marlins, the A's, the Orioles, and
Pirates.
Pirates.
The Rockies.
Nope.
Nope.
Damn. Damn, hold on. The Rockies, $131
million.
Boy. Oh, hold on. We got to see who the hell they're paying. Colorado Rockies. Chris Bryant makes $28 million. Kyle Freeland, $15 million. Charlie Blackman, $13 million. Ryan McMahon, $12 million. Antonio Sins. I never heard of this guy. Sinzatella, $12 million. Mm-hmm. German. Marquis, $10 million.
Arizona,
$97 million.
97. So who are the other teams?
So when you said the Padres, the hint I was going to give you, the Pirates, sorry. We said the Pirates, the hints I was going to give you are the other two teams are in the NL Central.
Milwaukee.
$61 million.
And Cincinnati.
$59 million. There you go.
Oh. Wow.
Some on the Mets are number one on here.
Yeah, they're still paying what most of Verlander, most of Scherzer.
Verlander, Scherzer, and McCann. James McCann.
Mm-hmm.
Paying a combined, what's that, $49 million, those three?
Boy.
34 to Francisco Lindor, 20 to Starlin Marte. 20 to Brandon Nemo,
mm-hmm.
15 to Kodai Senga.
Yep.
Edwin Diaz, 14. Jeff McNeil, 10. Luis Severino, who they just signed, 13.
13.
And Jose Quintana, 13. Oof.
So if you play for the New York Mets, you're basically guaranteed double digit millions.
All you got to do is be good. And not even good lately because Luis Severino has been good for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Are they still playing Robbie Cano?
I don't think so. Our old friend Bobby Bonilla is here. Also Brett Saberhagen, yes. But no.
Okay. Eat your heart out, Bobby Bonilla, with that whatever, however much deferred money the Dodgers are going to pay Shohei Ohtani.
How much longer does he have on his deferred payments?
Is it another 10 years?
Till 2035.
12 years.
Hey, hold on. This says he has a deferred contract for both the Mets and the Orioles.
At this point, nothing surprises me with Bobby Bonilla.
I know the Orioles. Contract. The Orioles, like, whew, good thing y'all don't know.
Right.
Don't look over here. Yeah, every time the anniversary, the payment day hits, and we make fun of the Mets, the Orioles are like, the hot of the collar over here. So how are you feeling about the Astros? Yeah, if I ask that question and get up out of here.
Oh man.
They signed a backup catcher.
Mm-hmm. They said goodbye to another.
Yeah. Bye bye.
Basically.
Martin Maldonado. Hello, Victor Carantini.
Mm-hmm.
They traded for Dylan Coleman.
Is he a relief pitcher?
Relief pitcher. Had a terrible year last year. Look up his numbers real quick. And that's all they've done so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I'm still behind them. I still think they have enough key pieces in place to still make another run. And look, whatever you may have to say about the whole Martin Maldonado situation, you know, at this point, by all accounts, it's done. It's over with. It's in the past. So I can fully look forward. I can fully say that I am fully looking forward to seeing what Yiner brings to the table as the guy, as the full-time catcher. And if he's, you know, if he doesn't, you know, come close to what he did as a part-time player last year, that's a shame. But you know, that's just the risk you take with catchers. It's not a surefire thing.
Sometimes it's not a linear progression.
Right.
Sometimes you bounce up high, then come back down low. Sometimes you start low and just hit a peak and stay up there.
Yeah.
Are you ready to hear about Dylan Coleman?
Sure.
You want to hear about what his ERA has been in his 3 years in the majors?
Okay.
First year, 2021, ERA and 6 1/3 innings pitch, 1.42. 2022, in 68 innings pitch, ERA of 2.78.
Okay.
2023. 18 1/3 innings pitch, 8.84.
Oh boy.
Yeah, look at the numbers on Fangraphs. Like, oh, what happened last year? That boy can strike out people. He also walks a lot. K per nine was over 10. Walks per nine, over 9.
Boy.
Not great.
In 18 1/3 innings last year, 21 strikeouts, 19 walks.
Oh, and how many home runs did he give up?
3.
In 18 innings, not great.
Nope.
But he has the pitches that you want. So if the Astros can turn him around, he'll become a decent weapon out of the bullpen. I think as an Astros fan, I knew going in that this offseason would be boring because this team, it's so good. It doesn't really need anything.
Yeah.
There are things that I would like, but Jim Crane wants to count his money.
doesn't want to offer deferred contracts to Japanese players.
Did not know they exist. I would guarantee he had no idea that he saw that contract and he saw the notice that you could defer to make the tax payments go down, and he called someone and had to have it confirmed. No idea how it's possible. I was about to say, in his defense, I didn't know, but I don't own a baseball team, so I didn't need to know. Anyways, the the Astros ad just came out. 2024 season ticks, the perfect holiday gift. I'm sure they are. I'm too broke to afford them, but I'm sure they're perfect. Anything else before we get up out of here?
No. I'm glad that the Shohei situation is complete. I'm looking forward to seeing where the rest of the chips may fall going forward.
Yeah, same here. What's the last thing to say? Who do you think the next big free agents to sign will be?
Yeah. That's a good question. I feel like one of those third basemen will sign first. I don't think Blake Snell's going to sign this week, at least. I think a position player will sign I don't want to say big name, because there really are no more big names. But I think an offensive piece will sign. An offensive piece of note will sign before a pitcher. That'll be my prediction.
Okay, so someone like Matt Chapman.
Yeah.
All right, I can see Josh Hader signing soon. No idea why. I was just scrolling through and I saw his name on the list. So I was like, let's pick him. All right, so let's get out of here. Next time there's some crazy, huge budget signing, we'll tap back in.
10 years.
Yeah, $700 million. Sheesh.
Correct.
They're going to be having Dodgers fans bust out their savings accounts to get a Dodger dog next year.
Boy, they're better off leaving their money.
Oh, you've had a Dodger dog, haven't you?
Man.
Overrated?
I forgot that it's not 100% Texas beef. Oh. Like a Nolan Ryan dog at Minute Maid. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what they put in those dogs. And without getting into too much detail, graphic detail, I've never eaten anything in my life that has accelerated a certain effect faster than I have a Dodger dog.
Hit you like
I was out in public, by the way.
Oh, Lord. Hit you like a big gulp of Starbucks coffee. You had to go.
Man. Nothing more rapid and powerful.
Oh God. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. That's nothing. All right, we're gonna get out of here. Next week we'll be doing our tiers list for 90s shows. I think it's a mixture of cartoon and live action things as well. So we'll get things like Hey Arnold and Doug, and also Legends of the Hidden Temple, things like that as well.
Okay. That'll work.
Good time. So thank you all for downloading, listening, sharing. We appreciate it. If you could leave us a 5-star review wherever you download this podcast. Helps us in the algorithm, and it helps us with our egos. Some would say my ego is big enough, but to those I say it is not.
Okay. Always be bigger.
And we'll catch y'all next week.
Thanks for tuning in, folks.
Thank you all. For Anthony, I'm DeQuincy. Laters.